JG2 Number 11B
Yes, so he goes on and says, we're moving from separateness to wholeness. And the locus of authority is shifting from the experts, who we don't trust anymore, to an inner authority. Control in organizations is not top-down hierarchical anymore. And organizations are getting to be more like an organism of an autonomous units, united in a common purpose, but not controlled from one place. All that fits with a oneness picture rather than a separateness picture. At some level, that's a pretty fair way to describe the revolutionary change. Interviewer, so what is it really about then? Harmon, it's really about a total restructuring of society, which will be as dramatic in all of its dimensions as a shift from medieval times to modern times, but only it will happen about 10 times as fast. And he says, ours is one of the great times of human existence when we're making an evolutionary leap that people will span in a single lifetime. I feel pretty confident that that's what's going to happen. Interviewer, describe to me the new direction you see us heading in. Harmon, it is, again, he says, it is certainly towards a more holistic view of things, towards a balancing of outer action and inner looking. It involves a different relationship with nature. It certainly involves a new sense of spirituality, very different from the old religions, a spirituality in action. The corporation and the schools will be amongst the most spiritual institutions. What was Mrs. Eddy's desire? That Christian Science would be taught in the schools, in spiritual institutions. He says society will be more democratic, better able to appreciate different cultures, so that racism will be transformed into appreciation. We'll also see a total restructuring of global economy. And he says, if we let loose of the controls and just try to act in accordance with some kind of inner signal, and he says, and watch the feedback, that's all there is to do. And the interviewer says, in finishing it up, if you had to say what you're accomplished in your life, what you're most proud of, what would you say? Harmon said, I woke up and I said yes. I fought against waking up for 35 years, and every inch I moved has been with my heels dug in. But I had some friends along the way, and I'm grateful for that. I got pushed when I needed to be pushed. Interviewer, so you finally said yes? Yes to what? Harmon, I said yes to the universe. And he says, I don't know what the rest of life has in store, but I think I probably have fairly completely learned one lesson, and that is, whatever it is, it's not bad. It's just feedback. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, and the earth will help the woman. And when Mrs. Eddy says that, you know, will Christian Science come through the churches? In the long pause, it will come according to God's appointing. And that revelators will take their place, but they won't be deified. And that generic man will reveal her successor. This is the age of love. It's this universal. This is happening everywhere. To think that that universal law can be channeled through a few mentalities called Christian Science is ridiculous. That's why we can see that Jesus said yes individually. Through Christian Science, we've learned to say yes collectively. But the world is saying yes universally. And as I say, as Max said, that Christian Science, our job is to see with this divine system of reference that Christian Science is the world. The only way it's going to be done is through seeing that these universal laws of science are the universal laws of all laws. They're the comprehensive laws that includes all laws. They are, why does the world want them? They're the laws of reality values. If already Paul Davies is calling the laws, how does he say that these laws are? He said, first of all, he said that the laws have been invested with many of the qualities that were formerly attributed to God. He said, first and foremost, we see that those laws are universal. A law that only works sometimes or in one place but not another is no good. The laws are taken to apply unfailingly everywhere in the universe and in all epochs of cosmic history. Those laws are raining down on everyone. He said, with no exception, therefore they are perfect. And then he gives the quality of laws that they're absolute. They don't depend on anything else. They don't depend on who is observing them. He says, then they see that laws are eternal. They're timeless. And then he says, he sees that laws are omnipotent. They're all powerful. Nothing escapes them. They're omniscient. They're all science. And he says that the systems do not have to inform the laws of their state in order for the laws to legislate the right instruction for the state. He is saying that these laws have the values of all power, all science, all present, and all action. Exactly what Mrs. Eddy said. These laws are the reality values that Harmon is looking for. But you see, we have still a job. We can show that absolute system of reference is presented in the Bible, in the textbook, gives us an absolute system of reality values. And as I say, through what is science, in reality, is breaking in on the scientist. The main thing that we can show, I think, is that to approach the reality values, we approach it with the divine mind. The difference is that the world doesn't crown the power of mind as Messiah. They see that that consciousness is conscious reality. Slowly but surely, that the reality values of intelligence and all that is going to break in as fundamental to life of mind, or the reality values of the purity of spirit will break in, and the reality values of the identity where subject and object are one of soul is in beauty and symmetry is breaking in. They already call the laws beautiful and symmetrical, as we saw. The reality values of the integrity and honesty is already breaking in of principle. The reality values that these laws are eternal and timeless. Reality values of a higher state of consciousness, of truth, is breaking in. The reality values of love is breaking in. All the reality values of our synonymous terms are becoming the stuff of the universe. What we can show is that system has been revealed in the Bible, in the textbook, and that we have it as the model of being, and that through our culturing consciousness with the ideas of the value, reality values of mind, and making that tone mind our standpoint of consciousness, and culturing the reality values of spirit and making the tone spirit of our consciousness, and culturing the reality values of soul and seeing that that's the tone of our consciousness, and culturing the reality values of principle, life, truth, and love, and seeing that that's the tonality of consciousness, where the structure of reality and the structure of our consciousness is one, where we finally say, well, I go out from I mind, I spirit, I soul, I principle, I life, I truth, I love, and on the science level, we see that we are just that a mind being its own infinite mind, spirit being its own infinite spirit, soul being its own infinite soul, principle, life, truth, and love being its own infinite principle, life, truth, and love in operation, which on the level then of divine science, we see we just are that universal idea and expression, and on absolute Christian science, we are a calculus of ideas, an individual expression of the calculus of ideas. We're all the identities of principle are in a pure calculus of ideas, which through the Christ, simultaneously through the operation of the Christ, presenting what we are as reality values and analyzing and covering any of those any beliefs within us that don't adhere to those reality values. You see, that is the purpose of the translation, where as I said, mind is seeking the mind that is already in us, huh? Seeing that our nature resounds and responds with mind. And it's the office of the Christ and its translation and retranslation to make that spiritual agreement, you see. And spirit is seeking the spirit in us, and soul is seeking the soul in us, and principle, life, truth, and love is seeking the principle, life, truth, and love, and through its translation and retranslation makes all within our consciousness like the reality values of principle, until consciousness just goes out again from the level of science itself. So you see that whole explanation of being that we have with the model of being is the answer to what Harman sees, that the universal stuff are these primary values, are reality values, and they're asking for a science of reality values, of which the model of being is, huh? Where we show that that's right, and we can see that our job is to see what are those reality values and how I can become one with those reality values. And it's not our effort that does it, it's the operation of the Christ, the impersonal operation of the Christ, that divine algorithm in being that is making it happen in our life. All we have to do is say yes to the universe. Let it happen, huh? Okay, so that is what I wanted to mention this afternoon and to show us why this system operates, huh? And the Christ always answers the why. Okay. Yes, so we begin this morning building on what we saw yesterday, that the whole reason why this system is operating, we see now, is because a principle is really seeking itself on every single level according to an immaterial feedback principle. And as we have just seen then, that Willis Harman has said that it, and he can see that it's all feedback. Well, that's certainly what our levels of consciousness are showing, that on the level of science itself, it sets up the logic. It's an infinite logic, Mrs. Eddy says, and that infinite logic is an infinite logic, which is an infinite withinness, built on the infinite withinness, the infinite immaterial feedback principle within being itself. Set up on the level of science itself, where we see then that principle has a relationship to principle on every single level. And on the level of science itself, the relationship is principle is its own infinite principle. And that is its own infinite, it sets up that invariable law of infinite self-reflection, that law where principle is constantly reflecting itself anew, spiraling higher and higher from a boundless basis. Then on divine science, we see that infinite immaterial feedback principle at work on the divine sense, where we ask from our standpoint, Well, actually, just what is going on within that infinite principle itself, within the realm of principle being its own infinite principle. And we see then that we look at that invariable, which is the basis of the science of all sciences, really. And on divine science, we see that principle is always operating principle. And how is it operating itself? Always as a self-organizing system, staying within the infinite withinness, as a self-organizing reflex system, where principle is always bending back on itself through its input, process, output, and feedback system. That is a law of self-organization of the word Christ, Christianity in science, which is a flow there. One flows from the word to the Christ, to Christianity and science as a flowing self-reflex, where it's bringing out the fact that principle and its universal idea is one, and this one is principle, showing us therefore that within that infinite principle on the level of science itself, it has a universal idea. And that universal idea, we could say, is like a divine hologram. We could call it the divinely holographic universe, where that hologram always exists in the principle, as an idea in the principle. Therefore, it makes that idea and its principle one. Then on Absolute Christian Science, we will see now and began to touch that nothing goes outside the infinite withinness of principle, that the immaterial feedback translates itself according to the laws of translatability and the laws of self-operation, self-organization, self-regulation, a divinely cybernetic process of translatability, where on Absolute Christian Science we therefore see the relationship is still principle to principle, but now it's the relationship of principle to its ideas which still remain principle, showing that within the infinitude of principle on the level of science itself, on divine science, there's a universal idea. And within that universal idea, which is a closed system, it's open to infinite calculations. And here we see that principle itself presents itself as infinite individualities, yet still remains the one principle, which is God, never leaving the standpoint of principle. Here we see that principle presents itself as an infinitely individual ideas, yet still remaining principle, and therefore individual man, so-called man, but really individual idea, is such as that when you touch an idea, you touch the infinite one. We certainly saw that when we could see that as it is a universal holographic universe, so it's a holographic idea, that every little part contains the whole. Therefore, the power of an idea is the power of the infinite mind. The substance of an idea is the substance of the infinite spirit. The identity of an idea is always the identity of the infinite soul. The government of an idea is always the government of the infinite principle. Or the demonstrating power of an idea is always the demonstrating power of the infinite principle. The life of an idea is always the life of infinite life. The form and consciousness of an idea is always the form and consciousness of infinite principle. And the goal causality and plan of an idea is always a goal causality and plan of the infinite love. So you see, when we touch an idea, we touch the infinite one in quality, of course, and not in quantity. That means that all of us have all the qualities of God. It's not that individual man together makes up all the qualities of God. It is, as Mrs. Eddy said, that man is the compound idea. That as principle's idea, we just, as I've said now, are that one principle, infinitely individualized. We're adapted to a very unique situation as a scientific idea within the structure. No other idea can take our place. It's a unique idea as the laws of life, truth and love on the level of absolute Christian science show, yet still remaining principle. And therefore, that feedback principle is principle then related to its ideas, yet still remaining principle on a self-reflection of ideas. Then on the level of Christian science, we will see how that impact of the self-reflection of ideas verifies the principle, showing according to the dual conceptual logic that only the calculus of ideas is going on, and therefore that has its impact on the relative standpoint, on the belief that anything else is going on besides principle. And the impact is that, therefore, that principle seeks the principle in every single idea, finding that principle, bringing it back through its retranslation back into the realm of the, not back into, it's just principle is seeking principle through the material feedback principle of an what we'd call an error correcting system within the principle itself. It's just showing its impact on the relative, which is to analyze, uncover, annihilate any belief that anything else has ever been going on besides that principle, as we will see. So everything stays within that infinite self-containment of principle, which shows that creation just is the emanation of the infinite self-containment of principle and its immortal wisdom. So therefore, as we come to this level of absolute Christian science as a law, we know now we're staying within that realm of the infinite self-containment of principle. We saw yesterday together when we looked at the level law. Therefore, as we've just said, it's that principle's relationship to its ideas, where principle appears as infinitely individual ideas adapted to a specific situation, yet still remaining that principle, and therefore that shows us the realm of the calculus of ideas, the self-reflection of ideas, where only positive values are at work. That is a standpoint we take as a spiritual mathematician. Only the absolute standpoint we see. That certainly doesn't make us absolutist, because Mrs. Eddy said that Christian science is absolute. It's not behind the point of perfection nor advancing towards it. Doesn't mean that it's the absolutist standpoint where we hear no evil, speak no evil, see no evil. It's so far that, yes, from absolute Christian science, we only go out from perfection and we only calculate from reasoning from cause to effect in the science of mind. We begin with mind, which can only be understood through its ideas and not through its opposite matter. We're always calculating from mind to its idea. We always go back to the principle of 2 plus 2 equals 4, and we stick to the principle, as in any science, as in any mathematics. This just happens to be what Mrs. Eddy called spiritual mathematics. We stick to the principle. And we see now that the Christian science level is there to show how the impact of sticking to that principle simultaneously analyzes, uncovers, and annihilates error. So the principle isn't seeing, hearing no evil, seeing no evil, speaking no evil. It has its impact of analyzing, uncovering, and annihilating any beliefs which we call evil. So therefore, sticking to that standpoint of Absolute Christian Science, we will see now the laws that are covered by this level. As we have them then in the study aid on page 78, we see that what we will be dealing with now on the level of Absolute Christian Science is that out of the infinite law of infinite being of science itself comes the law of divine self-operation of divine science, which on the level of Absolute Christian Science appears as the overall law of the level of divine spontaneity. That's the level law, that the whole law is under the impulsion of the law of divine spontaneity. And then we see that this level law is divided into four different aspects because it's showing the specifics of the law of divine spontaneity. Whereas on the level of divine science, we saw that the word Christ, Christianity, and science weren't divided, so to speak, into a force or looked at as four separate categories. We just talked about the word Christ, Christianity, and science as an input, process, output, feedback, as a flow. But here we see that the law of spontaneity is looked at in, it's not divided in any way, but it's looked at from various standpoints. Because this is a law of a specification, a level where we look at the specifics, at the various details. So here we look at the law of divine spontaneity from the standpoint of the word at Absolute Christian Science, which then gives us the law of divine impulsion, the law of the divine success mechanism. And we look at the law of spontaneity with the spotlight on the Christ, which gives us the law of individualization, or we could call it the law of specification. And we look at the law of divine spontaneity with the spotlight on Christianity, which gives us the law of eternalization, or the law of self-maintenance. And finally, we look at the law of divine spontaneity from the spotlight of science, and we have the law of pre-established perfection.